This week I came across this quote, which I think it's a really powerful reminder. And that, of course, is the message of Christmas. We are never alone. Not when the night is darkest, not when the wind coldest, the world seemingly most indifferent. And those of us who have gone through difficult, dark, cold seasons in our lives would say, as followers of Christ, that it is so true that in those very moments, we find that God is with us, that He does not leave us on our own. So we come to sermon number 4, which I have called, Come and Deliver Us to Yourself. Come and deliver us to yourself. You may have heard me say before that one of my classmates, when we graduated from high school back in 1983, that is a terribly long time ago, just took it upon herself to send an invitation to then U.S. President Ronald Reagan. One day closer to, when we were close to actually to grad and senior prom and all of those events, she got a phone call. And as she picked up the phone, they're like, Hi, this is so-and-so. I am calling from the White House, from President Ronald Reagan's office. And do you know what she did? She hung up. Like, this is before the day of phone calls, you know, telemarketers and spam and people trying to scam you. She hung up on the secretary of Ronald Reagan. And of course, thankfully, they called again. And then she remembered that she had actually sent an invitation. And Ronald Reagan just wanted to say that, unfortunately, he would not be coming to a little town in Idaho, but he sent his congratulations. I wonder, as we think of Christmas, both the first Christmas and Christmas today, how many of us are going to hang up on Jesus? We just cannot believe that it's Him. That God Himself would come in the flesh to us human beings. Thankfully, like Ronald Reagan's secretary, Jesus does not give up that easily. And He does all sorts of things to remind us that it is really Him. So you see, during His earthly ministry, Jesus continually called people to Himself. Today, He continues calling all people to Himself. We see it at the beginning of His ministry. One of the first things He does is He begins to invite people to come and follow Him. We remember the story, of course, of the 12 disciples and how each one of them had an encounter with Jesus. And they followed Him. And throughout His ministry, those three and a half years, He's always inviting people to come and see. He's inviting people to just get to know Him. He's inviting people to study the Scriptures and to discover that the long-awaited Messiah, that's who He was. And so, in this story, we come to a passage in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11, in the last few verses, where He says, Come to Me. Come to Me. Have we considered the meaning, the power, the significance of those words? Come to Me. Father, I thank You that this morning You wish to speak to us. You wish to comfort our hearts. You wish to remind us that You have an open door policy and that You are inviting us not to a one-time event, not to just a special moment, but to a lifetime with You. And after that, an eternity in Your presence. Lord, what a wonderful invitation You make to every single human being, young or old, wherever in the world they live, whatever their socioeconomic status may happen to be, whatever their health, their job situation, their family situation, their political persuasion, all of those things are not barriers to you inviting us to yourself. So help us today to say yes and to draw near to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let us continue with the verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a great invitation, isn't it? That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who holds the universe in his hands, the one who knows the billions of stars and calls them by name, the one who sustains us, in whom we live and move and have our being, the God who knows everything about you, the God who knows the beginning from the end, the one who is directing everything that's happened in the world from creation until its conclusion, the one who owns, as Psalm says, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one whom himself declares, there is no one like me, the one who says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, the one who says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, the one who says, all power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, the one of whom Scripture says that he has been given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The one of whom Scripture says that all things in creation are being summoned, they're being put under his feet. The one of whom the prophet had said before his earthly birth, 700 years before, that the government shall be upon his shoulders, and that of the growth, the extent, the expansion of his government, there shall be no end. The one of whom we sang that shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The one of whom John, in the revelation that he got about Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. The one of whom in that revelation we see that people from every nation and tongue, his name is worshiped. The one before whom the angels, all the heavenly beings, bow before him. The one of whom the heavenly beings worship day and night. And all they can say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That one invites you to come to him. It's not Bill Gates. It's not some famous star. It's not some incredibly famous, powerful person. The one who invites you is God himself to come to him. He doesn't say, come and go see my assistant. Or he doesn't say, come and go see, you know, this person or that person. Or, you know, I don't have time right now. I'm a little busy running the universe, especially with this coronavirus thing going on. I'm a little worried. I'm not sure what to do. So please go and see that angel over there. He does not do that. He doesn't put us off. He keeps telling us to come and come and come and come. And the invitation has been there from the very beginning. Before the fall of humanity, and as we look into the book of Revelation, the invitation is come, come, come. He invites us. Again, I read it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. How many people in our world, that would be a perfect description of who we are today? And that's true whether we're Christians or non-Christians. We are just tired. Tired of being in our homes, tired of not being able to go where we want to go, tired of not being able to gather and worship like we used to, tired of not just going to a restaurant, tired of maybe even being in the same home with the same people all the time. You just want to see somebody else. Tired of, you know, going to the store and there's no more toilet paper, no more Lysol wipes, and no more this, no more that. People are tired of wearing, you know, a simple little piece of cloth. It's driving us crazy. We're tired that we're not sure how we're going to make ends meet. We're not sure how school's going to turn out. We're not sure we can get our elective surgery. We're not sure, you know, we can want to go to the emergency department if we're sick. We're not sure we're going to take that vaccine. We are just tired. That is a good way of describing our world, weary and burdened. And yet Jesus says, if you come to me, I will exchange that for rest. Then he takes something that for most of us is kind of strange because we don't live in this kind of society. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, rest even for your souls, not just for our physical bodies. Isn't that nice? That all that inward turmoil and worry and stress and anxiety and all of these things, Jesus says, I will give you peace. I will give you peace. And then he goes back to reiterating this, that we will find rest, rest even for our souls. I love the way in which Eugene Peterson translates this, because he says, come and learn from me. And then he qualifies that. And he says, come and learn from me the unforced rhythms of life. What a great picture. Unforced. It's what it was meant to be. The natural things come and live your life in such a way that you find, oh, I can live at this space. I can live in this environment. I can live under these circumstances knowing that I am with him and he is with me. And so this unforced rhythm of life is fantastic. Anyway, there's he talks about a yoke. This is kind of what a yoke looks like, depending on which part of the world you would go. Now, I grew up in Mexico. Some of you know that. And we grew up in an agricultural community where we were peasants. We lived from one harvest to the next. My children have asked me, Dad, were you poor growing up? And I'm like, we were very, very poor. The only thing is that we were all poor in the entire village, so none of us knew we were actually poor. But one of the things we did is that we farmed as young as possible. They would send us out to go work in the corn and bean fields. And as you got older, at some point, you got to do something really scary. This is what a team of oxen look like for farming. We had no tractors. We either farmed completely by hand or we made use of oxen. And you see how the yoke is put over there behind the horns. And in our case, we had leather straps that we would then tie around their horns. And they're paired up like this, usually one more experienced oxen with a younger, less experienced, stronger oxen. And that's how they would make the work. But let me tell you, it was so scary as, you know, sometimes an eight-year-old, as they're like, okay, take the straps off the yoke. And you're standing in front of an oxen like this. It is freaky scary. But this is so the people of Jesus' time would have fully understood when he talks about take my yoke upon you. It's like, don't take it by yourself. Don't leave your post. Learn from me. Just like a young oxen would learn from an older, more experienced oxen that is used for this kind of work, Jesus said, learn from me. Don't leave this all by yourself. Life is too hard to do by yourself. You're not smart enough, wise enough. You don't have all the life experience. You cannot tell what's coming down the pike. You never know when you make a decision how exactly it's going to turn out. But if you partner with me, life will be different. So what does Jesus call us to? Three things that we see here. He calls us to rest. To rest. To rest in him. Of course, there's a rest that is coming later on that Hebrews speaks about our time in eternity with God. where everything will be as it was meant to be. But in the meantime, God knows we need rest. Rest from the stresses of life in a world that's under a curse, in a world that is not the way it was meant to be, a world that has been subjected to the effects of the fall against its will. And I've said it a few times during this series. I want to say it again. We have to stop wanting earth to be like heaven. It's not. It's never going to be. In the meantime, we can spend time with Jesus and get to know him and live with him and for him and find rest, not only physical, but rest for our souls. He also invites us to a relationship of cooperation where we don't have to do all the work. Isn't that a cool thing? He says, partner with me. That's the whole idea of the yoke. Let's do this together. Together. Those of us who came to Christ in our adult years, we came to Christ at that point because we realized life is just so hard. And no matter how much you try and how well you do it and the good intentions and all the forethought that goes into it, we kept messing it up. And so Jesus says, come, let's do this together. Let's do this together. And then he invites us to learn from him because he is humble and gentle. How desperately we are in need in our current world of gentleness and humility. I saw a meme yesterday of, you know, the paramedics taking somebody, putting them in an ambulance, and they're like, no, we're not taking you to the emergency. We're going to take you to the social media post because all the medical experts are there. If you are on social media, just post something, post a picture of you with a mask on and see how you are treated. Make some comment about the vaccine, either whether you're going to take it or not take it, and see how nice people are. And Jesus says, learn from me to be humble. That I think that the whole concept of humility in this sense is to depend fully on God and to get our identity from who God is. That's what the humility part is. And the gentleness, I think, is, you know, you don't have to prove that you are right. You don't have to take offense when somebody says nasty things. We don't have to respond in kind. That's what the whole gentle part is about. And so that's why Jesus calls us to. But why does he call us to that? Very quickly, three things. He calls us to that to restore relationship, because in some ways, all of humanity has been prodigal from its creator, from our heavenly Father. We've run away and tried to do our own thing. That's what Scripture tells us, that we've all gone our own way and tried to do our own thing, and we've messed it up, and now we don't know how to fix it. And Jesus says, come to me. Let us reestablish this relationship. Let's fix this relationship between you and God, you and other people, you and his creation, and you and yourself. So let's restore relationship. He also wants to restore purpose. You know that when he created Adam and Eve, that he gave them work to do here on earth. But then because of their disobedience, that creation, that work became very toilsome, burdensome. And because of the curse on earth, it's just not the way it was meant to be. But God is inviting us not only to a restored relationship, but to a restored purpose of being in relationship with him, of living in peace, of not being swayed by this and by that and questioning who we are and an identity. Because when we have a relationship with God, then those things become clearer and clearer and stronger and stronger. And we understand what our purpose is here on earth. Whether that is to teach, to be a medical doctor, to be a mechanic, to be a bricklayer, to be a truck driver, to be whatever it is that the good Lord has called people to. But to do it now for a completely different reason. To honor him as an act of worship. And then he calls us as well to recommission us. right? In Matthew 28, where he says, all power and authority has been given unto me. Because of that, I am asking you, I am commanding you, I am telling you, now go into all the world and let's do this together. I have a message. I have paid with my own life for the delivery of that message and for that message to be effective, that people can return to a right relationship with God. So will you help me? And all of us, like Isaiah, should respond, here am I, send me. So Jesus calls us to himself and for his mission of reconciling the world to himself. That's why we're still here. That's why he hasn't said, okay, well, you know, you've given your life to me now. Let's just come to heaven. Let's let the party begin. No, we are still here for one single reason, and that is to be partners with God in the mission of reconciling humanity back to God. And that's a privilege and a responsibility we all have. And as God has transformed our lives, that gives us a platform to share the greatest news, that Jesus saves. That God is not mad at the world. That God is not waiting to just punish the world, but that the entire full impact of the wrath of God fell on Jesus at the cross. And those who will believe in that, accepted by faith, can now escape the wrath of God and instead to be adopted into his family and to be commissioned for the most amazing work that any human being can do, is to partner with God in helping him and working through him, enabled by him, to restore human beings to a right relationship with God. This, friends, is why Jesus has come. This is why we can cry out, Jesus, Emmanuel, come and deliver us to yourself. The most amazing thing, the most amazing relationship, the most puzzling relationship that there could ever be, that God wants me as his friend, as his son, as his co-laborer, as his co-heir. What greater thing could we celebrate at Christmas time? What greater cry could we have? But Jesus, Emmanuel, come, deliver us to yourself. In one of these days, that cry will be fulfilled in its ultimate sense. Whether we die to go be with the Lord, or whether Jesus comes to take us to be with him. This is our confidence. This is our hope. And that, friends, is an exciting position to be in. So yes, our cry is, come, deliver us to yourself. Amen.